Good morning. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that you have a heavenly Father that loves you with an everlasting love? Amen. Oh, glory. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. It's a blessing. Things I never take for granted. I wish every one of you a happy Father's Day, like Brother Corey was speaking of just a moment ago. And aren't you glad that we do have a heavenly Father that loved us so much that he gave his son Jesus for us. Amen. Oh, glory. Glad to see Derek and Crystal. Hallelujah. Glad to see each and every one of you. When you're not here, you're missed. And I think it's interesting how God just works in our lives while we're together, but he works in our lives while we're separate. He knows what he's doing. And amen. I want to get Brother Jason to put one verse. This is going to be our series text, but I don't have time to cover what the Spirit of God has laid on my heart if we cover the series text. I just want to read one verse. You open up your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2 for today's message. But I want Brother Jason to put Matthew 28:19 on the screen. And when we get into this series, we're going to study 11 through 20. We're going to study this full thought. We're starting the new series about the discipleship series that I told you just a little bit about. The Lord is calling us. He's daring us to be a disciple. He's daring us to make disciples. You realize that's what we're called to do. Not church people. Thank God for people when they come to church. But church won't get you to heaven. Being a disciple, a believer in Jesus Christ, being saved by grace, that's what gets you to heaven. Amen. And so, look here. I'm sorry, Brother Jason. Verse 19. I don't know what I said, but please forgive me. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus makes this statement. He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Now, that word teach there is to make disciples. And if you got a modern translation, it'll actually say that. But go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. But we're going to be talking about that in the next several weeks, breaking down the context of what Jesus is talking about. But this morning, I want you for a text. I want you to read Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. We're talking about a date with destiny this morning. Say, "I've got a date with destiny." Today's Father's Day. Your daddy in heaven has a destiny for you. If you're there, say amen. Revelation chapter 2, talking about the church at Pergamos, verse number 12. "And to the angel of the church in Pergamos, fortified, elevated, write, these things saith he which has the sharp sword with two edges." Now mark that down. Verse 13, "I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, whom was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Verse 14, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication," which would be spiritual adultery today, idolatry. Verse 15, "So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, the victorious ones, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, to him that hearing ear to that person, they will overcometh. And I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him or her a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saveth he or she that receive it." Pray with me. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we stand before you. We're in awe of your Spirit that is revealing Jesus to us. We're in awe of you, Father, the Almighty God. You're our Father, and we honor you and we praise you. We ask this morning, as we start on this new series, that you just teach each one of us individually, but bring us under a corporate anointing, renewing our mind and growing our faith in the direction that you would have us to finish strong and build on this recovery of joy. Father, we just worship you. And right now we speak to every father figure in this church, every grandfather figure in this church, in this service this morning, and those who are listening under the sound of the anointing of your Spirit in our life, Lord, help us to look to you, the author, the finisher of our faith. Help us to be the type of influencer that you would have us to be. Help us to take time and put you first and foremost, and to make, to teach, to make disciples, to do what you'd have us to do for your glory. Let us be that father figure as you are to us. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, and we all say, amen, amen and amen. Hallelujah. This morning, I want you to write down three things on the table of your heart that we're going to try to look at. And I got to, by the Spirit of God, figure out which to hit fast and which to hit hard, because I know everybody has different appetites and you have different levels of wanting to hear and receive. But you and I, first of all, we got to realize that we have to be shaped by the Word of God. There is a world out there. There is a world church out there that wants to shape you, that wants to mold you, that wants to set a standard for you and I to live in. But we've got to let the Word of God shape us. Number two, we got to be in the place where we stand by the Word of God. You're not going to stand by anything other than this Bible, this precious Word. If you and I, we have our own ideologies, our own thoughts, our own desires, and they're contrary, they're opposite to this, guess what? They're going by the wayside. They're going to fall. The only thing that's going to be left, Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word abides forever. So we have to be in the place that we stand on the word. And lastly, which is the most important thing that we need to spend the most time on, is you and I have to be supplied by the word of God. It's your the word of God, Jesus, is your supplication, is your provision, is your peace, is your guidance, is your direction. Is you're all in all. Amen. So this morning, you and I, we were looking here at the church at Pergamos, and they had some good things in it. They had some bad things in it. Guess what? This morning, as I stand before you, I stand here by grace. I've got some good things in my life. I've got some bad things in my life. Jesus wants to get the bad things out, and he wants to help me grow in the good things. Amen. Thank God for grace. He is a good, good God. But if you've noticed, this past 2 weeks, we've seen some shaking that's taken place in the body of Christ. And those things that have been hidden are being brought to the light. And so, remember, that was the prophetic word this year, that there's going to be some things happen. And you and I had to recover our joy and know who we were, because there was going to be things that were hidden was going to be brought to the forefront. And those things that were not in Christ were going to be shaken out. And you're seeing that. We're seeing a lot of things happening. So you and I have got to make sure that we're standing by grace. And I believe you are this morning. I believe I am. And so we need to sure ourselves up in that. So let's look at some things this morning, I believe, that will bless you and help you in the time that we've got appointed. Now, you pray for me. Don't get aggravated at me. You pray for me that I can. Because, see, I spend weeks at this. And see, and then I got to figure out where you're at, or I can give you just what you need and not give you what I want to give you. Amen? Because what I want to give you, it might not even be the right thing. Amen? No, I'm serious. I need your help. We're in this together. The only way we'll ever succeed is if we work hand in hand together, spirit by spirit. Amen? All right. Notice what he said. Go back to verse number 12. Revelation 2 and 12, and unto the angel of the church in Pergamos, that church that was elevated, it had become elevated, part of it in Jesus, part of it in self. God, show me self this morning, because I know I want self to go down and I want Jesus to go up. Amen. Right, these things saith he which has the sharp sword with two edges. So in other words, Jesus said, I'm talking to the church. And those that have an ability to hear, I've got some promises for you. And those promises is, I can start shaping your life. I can help you to know the truth about some things. So hold your place here, and let's go to a very familiar verse of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 4, and let's see how Jesus wants to shape your life this morning, how he wants to shape my life, where we can be in that place where we can operate in liberty and freedom, and we can represent him the way he would have us to. Amen? Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, look what the Word of God says. For the Word of God is quick. The Word of God is living. Zeo, the Word of God is the God kind of life. If you don't like something about your life this morning, if I don't like something about my life, I need to come back and I need to exchange my thoughts, my words, and put the Word of God in place of it, and then I'll have the God kind of life rather than the Greg kind of life. Amen? For the Word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's very operational in your life. Notice this. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I love this. So this word sharper from the Greek means that it takes one slice. How many have had a dull axe and you've hit and hit and hit? And if you just took time and went and sharpened the axe, it'd have been so much easier. Well, the Word of God, it takes one slice. See, I can get over here and I can try to figure out some things in my own life, and I can beat my head against the wall, and I can work and work and work, or I can just come to Jesus and I can say, Holy Spirit, give me a word for my situation this morning. Give me a word from where I'm at. In one slice, He can do something for my life. What can He do? Let's finish the verse. He said, for the Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. See, this morning, you and I were in a place. Now, I'm just going to talk to you, and don't get aggravated at me, but this is the truth. Every one of us, at times, we wonder, is that God or is that me? We're trying to figure out, or we'll ask ourselves, is that of the spirit in my spirit, or is that just the part of my soul that has not been renewed? Right. See, your soul is your mind, will, and your emotions. It's made up of those three parts. And the Apostle Paul tells us that we have to renew our mind, our soul. We have to renew it by the Word of God. So every part that I haven't received this engrafted Word into my heart, which is able to save my soul, James tells us in James chapter 1, then I'm in a place, in a position where I could be confused. See, the devil works through my flesh. The devil works through my soul. He cannot work. He cannot touch my spirit. The Holy, my spirit, your spirit, that's the Holy of Holies. That's the place that the Spirit of God brings the revelation of Jesus and the Father into our life. And so what I've got to do is I've got to realize to live a successful life, to learn how to dare to be a disciple, to learn how to dare to make disciples. I've got to be in the place and the position where I elevate Jesus. And as I elevate Him, I put what He thinks, what He wants, higher and stronger. More importantly, it's got to be preeminent in my life. And so I say, Father God, in Jesus' name, give me a word. Show me this morning, this way that I'm going, this way that I'm thinking, this decision I'm about to make, my everyday life. Like Brother Larry told me years ago when Don and I first got married, he said that we're creatures of habit. And isn't that the truth? Yeah. So I need to break out of the habit of the old man and start walking, living, breathing spiritually in the new man. And so I have to have a word to show me, why do I keep struggling in this area? Why do I keep fighting in this area? Why do I keep seem like I take one step forward and two steps back? What's going on? I need a word that will help me, because I need to know whether this is flesh, because the Bible tells me what to do if it's flesh. If it's the flesh, I pick up my cross. I do like the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. And then all of a sudden, that avenue, because of the revelation of the Word, that avenue is put aside. If it's my soul, then I ask the Lord, Lord, I don't want to think the way I think on my own. I don't want to feel the way I feel on my own. That's why we spent so much time about having sanctified senses and faith-filled feelings. And we spent 6 months on that. I want to be in the place and the position where your Word cuts all those things away and shows me the truth. This morning, wouldn't you love to be in a situation and you always got angry in that situation, but all of a sudden you could smile and you could rejoice because there was joy in here? And all of a sudden, see, I look at my life and I look at all the places where the devil goes, bam, bam, bam. And I go, it doesn't have to be that way. I can see a change. I don't have to be the same. I don't have to live and die in a place of not the victory that Jesus gave me. Amen. And it comes by receiving a word, getting a word, and realizing what's flesh, what's spirit. Okay, I know I got to go. But go back to Revelation chapter 2. You please meditate on that and let that just take a hold of your heart, because it can make all the difference in your life. Now notice what he says here. All of a sudden, you and I got to learn how to stand by the word of God, because you're going to have influence in your life. In your church family, your own family, they're going to influence you. Your friends who can be as close as family, they're going to influence you. Look what the word of God said. Let's reread it, starting in verse 13. Jesus said, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seed is, the accuser. Every one of you have been accused this week of something. The devil is the accuser of the brethren, and he uses people in your life and my life. He said, thou holdest fast my name and has not denied my faith. Now mark that down. Has not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was a faithful martyr who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. So think about it. In your church walk, in your Christian walk, the world sees it as somebody who goes to church. You see it as a relationship with Jesus. Amen. There are going to be things happen all around you. Here, Jesus called Antipas, which his name means instead of father, because see, there was a whole, half the church was serving the God of this world. Yeah. Remember what Malachi says, the last verse of the Old Testament, that there's going to be, people are going to turn to the true father and they're going to turn to the little father. They're going to turn to the devil before the coming of the Lord. That's what we're seeing. And that's what the book of Revelation is pointing to, giving us a type and a shadow of that. But he was trying to turn people back to God, and he was slain for it. Right. Well, I want you to know, the more you stand for Jesus, the more your character is going to be murdered. You may not physically lose your life, but you're going to they're going to come against your character. They're going to come against what you stand for and all of these things. And it may become a day when you have to give up your life. We don't know. We've been so blessed and so protected for so long that we can't imagine what's happening. But it's happening all over the world right now as you and I sit in this comfortable place. Amen. But I want you to see that Jesus said Antipas made a stand. And he said those that was in that place, in that position of following the Lord, they did not deny the faith. Right. So you're going to have an opportunity. I'm going to have an opportunity to deny the faith. He said, well, I would never do that. But we're not talking about the big things. We're talking about the little things. Yeah. It's the little things of everyday life that determine whether you and I will ever be involved in the big thing or not.
Right.
So hold your place here and let's go to Matthew chapter 10, I believe. Let's see something where Jesus gives this great instruction. Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 32. Matthew chapter 10. Now we're talking about standing by the word of God. Not it doesn't matter what people say about you. It doesn't matter what your family thinks about you. What matters is what the Lord thinks about you. Just think how the Lord was testifying. He said, you have stood for me. That's what he was talking about, that part of the church in Pergamos. He said in verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess. That means covenant in the Greek. So you've got a covenant with God because you have believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth Jesus Christ. That means that you are a part of the blood covenant. Amen. So whoever will confess me before men, him will I confess, will I covenant also, Jesus says, before my Father which is in heaven. Verse 33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny, reject, before my Father which is in heaven. Now let's keep the context of what's happening here. Verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth, but I am come not to send peace, but a sword. Remember we talked about the two-edged sword? That shapes your life. But it also, by the sword is how you stand, because you realize who your source is. See, a lot of people have confidence in family. They put all their confidence because mom and daddy did this, because grandma and grandpa did this. Well, thank God if we had godly influences and situations, but it boils down not to mom and daddy or grandma or grandpa. It boils down to you and Jesus, to me and Jesus. And so one person told me, and Donna said, I will never go to that church because I'm going to stay with my mama. I made a bold statement. It wasn't too long. Within 2 years, the whole life fell apart. Guess what? They don't go to church with mama anymore. They go to church where they're supposed to go to church. Talking about a heartache and talking about a lot of things that went through that didn't have to occur. Verse 33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will also deny before my Father, which is heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and against the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Notice this, verse 36. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So you and I have got to be in the place and the position that we realize every decision we make, it has no impact about our family in the natural. It has to be empowered by the Spirit of God. God will shape you, and then He will cause you to stand. You may seem like you're all alone. You may seem like nobody understands you. Nobody understands what's going on in your life. But you're standing by the grace of God. When Dawn and I first got saved, and my side of the family, that's great, that's wonderful. But the moment that we started trying to be a Christian, right. And let me put it this way: when we first started going to church, that was great. I'm so glad you're going to church.
Yeah.
But the moment that we started trying to be a Christian, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
We got things to do on Sunday.
Yeah.
It was nice when you just went to church. What do you mean you got to go do this? Why are you doing that? They can take care of their self. So you got to make a stand, and you got to realize nobody else can influence you. Nobody else can influence me than the Holy Spirit of God. He will make you stand. He will show you. Yes, you love them. They love you. But they want you to be what they want you to be. But you're called by your Father in heaven. Amen. And you have a date with destiny. You have something to do. And so you're in that place. I'm in that place where we realize that Jesus is going to divide some things. You're going to lose some friends. If you're not losing friends, you better do some evaluation. Come on. Don't get mad at me. And you're not avoiding your family. You're not leaving your family. But you've got to make a choice. I love Jesus more. And I remember I shared with you so much. I know why my grandpa was able to get saved at 90 years old, because I done what Jesus wanted me to do rather than what he wanted me to do.
Right.
If I hadn't done what the Lord wanted me to do, I firmly believe that he would have never accepted the Lord, and he would have died in his sins. That's how great God is. Another story for another time. Okay. Come on now. Don't get aggravated at me. I'm God's wanting to help us. He's wanting to cause you to realize how strong you are in Him. You don't need anybody else but Jesus. You don't need me. You don't need anybody. You need Jesus. You and Jesus. He'll never leave you. He's there 24/7. He understands you. Sometimes I try to talk to somebody and I know they don't have a clue what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But I know He does. Amen. And so I just rest in Him. Okay, go back to Revelation. This is the most important part. So if you just played around right there, that's okay. But let's get serious now. And let's look at this part that you're going to let the Jesus that you know personally supply everything about who you are. So I'm going to plow just a little deep this morning, and you bear with me. And if you don't want to understand it, just lay it on a shelf, because the Holy Ghost is going to reveal it to you, because this is going to sure you up for what God's calling you to do before the coming of the Lord. Amen? All right. Drop down to verse 17. He that hath an ear, say, I have an ear, to hear what the Spirit says unto the churches, to him that overcometh. Say, I'm an overcomer. Okay, now, let's remind ourselves of just a couple things here. Brother Jason, put 1 John 5:4 on the screen. Now, while he's doing that, I want you to think about what Jesus said. John, in John 16:33, Jesus said, hey, be of good cheer. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. And then he makes this statement in 1 John 4:4. He said, greater is he, the Holy Spirit that is in you, than the spirits in the world. So Jesus overcome the world. And then when he went away, he sent another comforter, the Holy Spirit, to abide with you forever. So you've got that overcoming spirit, just like Jesus overcome in your life. And so you've got to have faith to that. 1 John 5:4, and let's read verse 5 with it. Thank you so much, Brother Jason. 1 John 5:4, it should be whosoever. For whosoever is born of God. Are you saved this morning? Amen. Come on, are you born again?
Yes.
Okay, this is your verse. This is my verse, Sister Michelle. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world.
Amen.
Someday, the moment you got born again, you become an overcoming spirit by the Holy Spirit revealing the victory of Jesus Christ over the by the cross over the enemy in your life.
Yes.
Yes.
That's you this morning. You're not fighting for it. All you have to do is take it by faith. I am an overcomer. I'm going to be supplied by the Word of God. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our... Remember Romans 12:30, God dealt to you the measure of faith. So you've got the faith to be an overcomer, Brother Robbins. That's you. You're just born that way. Sister Janice, that's who you are, by faith. Amen? Now look at verse 5. This is how we apply it. Who is he that overcometh? Who is she that overcometh the world? By my faith. I put my faith into action. He or she that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. See, you and I are saved by the simplicity of the gospel. If it's not simple, it's not the gospel. Everything that man puts his finger to gets so big and so elaborate and so hard to understand. Jesus makes it so simple. Believe that I'm the Son of God and you're an overcomer. So your mind immediately, you say, well, Greg, you should have seen me last Tuesday. See, that part of our mind has to be renewed. That's why we have to what? We have to be shaped by the Word of God so we know what's part of the soul, the mind that hasn't been renewed, what's part of the flesh is trying to come against us, or we can be supplied by this Word. You've got to know who you are. So you've got to tell the devil, I am an overcomer.
Yeah.
The word overcomer here, it means that you have prevailed and have gotten the victory. You say, but this is happening in my life. Then you have to feed. I have to feed my faith on this to let this change my situation. See, I stand before you and I feel like a hypocrite when I preach this stuff. Come on, I'm just being honest with you because in my mind, the part of my mind that hasn't been renewed to this truth, the devil says, but you thought this.
Yeah.
See, I got to tell the devil, no, I didn't think it. You put that thought in my mind. And by the grace of God, that time I didn't say it. See, if I don't say it, then there's no power on those words. The moment I say it, come on, your speech, my speech is a creative force.
Yeah.
So we've got to learn to let those thoughts of the enemy, let them fall to the ground and let them die.
Yeah.
Because the only way they have life is if I give it life. Amen? So I am in this place. I've got to see. You've got to see this morning that your date with destiny is that you are an overcomer. That's who you are. Okay, go back. Revelation 2:17. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, because you know who you are. See how this is progressive in your growth, in your walk, how you become more of a disciple, more disciplined. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. The hidden manna. Now we know that Paul tells us in Romans 15:3 and 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that everything that was written aforetime in the Old Testament was written for our admonition, our instruction, our learning. In other words, the things with the Jewish people are types and shadows of what you and I have now under the new covenant in the dispensation of grace. So remember, God led the children of Israel out and he had Moses to bring them across the Red Sea And then all of a sudden, they're in a place where they're completely and totally dependent upon God. See, that was a type of salvation. So the moment that you got born again, the moment that you confessed faith in Jesus, that you made you accepted that blood covenant, then all of a sudden, your life was turned over to Jesus as being your shepherd.
Right.
And so you and I, what we have done, we have tried to serve Jesus from our self point of view. Because see, from the time we were little bit to big, we were taught how you need to take care of yourself. Guess what? You can't take care of yourself. I can't take care of myself. And so we've got to come back and we're going to say, I want Jesus to be my shepherd. So what are we talking about? As in the Old Testament, God gave them what? Manna that was not hidden, it was open.
Right.
And so what the Old Testament was, it was a provision outwardly for their physical needs. That God was going to take care of them physically all the way as they went from Egypt to Canaan, to the promised land, to the type of living by the Holy Spirit. That's where you and I are at today. We're learning how to live by the Holy Spirit. Amen? But this is not an open thing. Openly, God's going to take care of you. He's going to meet your needs where the whole world can see that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. He's your shepherd. The whole world's going to, but inwardly, you've got needs that nobody knows.
Right.
And He wants you to know that He has hidden manna. Brother Derek, He reads your heart. He sees your hurt. He sees your hope. And He mixes those things together and He brings the Word of God that takes us from point A to point Jesus. Amen. I always want to go to point Jesus, don't you, Brother Tony? So He said, I'm going to give you hidden manna. Now, what happened? The children of Israel, remember, they were hungry. And God said, I'll feed you. So what did He do? He brought a heavy dew, right? When they got up in the morning, there's the dew. And when the sun dried off the dew, there was, what's that? That's what manna means. What's that? They were seeing something that had never been provided before. It had never been seen. It was angel's food. They'd never saw it. And so God said, you go and you gather it, you bring it in to your particular family, and you partake of all of it. Don't hold it over. Guess what? They didn't listen. What they didn't partake of, it bred worms and it stank, it spoiled. See, Jesus in Matthew 4:4, He quotes Deuteronomy 8:3. He said that you and I have to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Give us this day. Remember the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 5. Give us this day our daily bread. So you and I today, this manna that's hidden, it's there. The Holy Spirit rains it down. That's what the dew was.
Right.
The dew was the type of the Holy Spirit raining it down. But they had to go gather it and they had to bring it in their home. And then they had to partake of it. In other words, they had to. So you and I, we get along with the Lord. The Holy Spirit rains down His word to supply us for this day. We have to take that word and immediately put it into application.
Right.
And when we put it into application, then it goes into our spirit and all of a sudden you and I start talking about it. And when we talk about it, what happens? It goes back to the Father. He said His word would not return unto Him void, but it would accomplish what He sent it to do. So He rains the word down by the Spirit of God. You and I partake of it. We apply it. We start praising Him for it, start praying it to Him, and it goes back, and all of a sudden, it supplies our need. The whole world is hidden to them, but it's revealed to you. And it's according to where you're at in Jesus. It's according to where I'm at. It's personal. It's private. God helps me in ways. If I told you what it was, y'all would look at me and say, boy, he's got some problems. We've all got problems, but aren't you glad we've got a promise? And His name is Jesus. And he's not looking at where we're at today. He's looking at where he's promised us that we're going to be. You and I, we have to see that we are complete in him. I'm a complete person in him. You're a complete person in him. Amen. All right. So we got to make sure that we go and we gather this manna. Let's go ahead and let's keep reading. I know you're getting tired of it. He said, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, no gender intended, to him or she, will I gather, will I give to eat the hidden manna." Now what happens? When you start eating the hidden manna, and here comes the second part of your fruition, of your growing in the Lord, "and will give him or her a white stone." A white stone. And we don't have time to go there, but you go and look at the Old Testament type and shadow. Before, so you and I, we're living in the perfect time because all you have to do is listen to the Holy Spirit. But God's people under the Old Covenant, they had to go to the priest, and the priest, he would have the Urim and the Thurim. And they would make decisions because they would cast lots, and God would bring out the white stone or the black stone. He would bring out what they needed to do.
Right.
So, but under the dispensation of grace here in the new covenant, you and I, we have the white stone.
Yeah.
That means that God is saying yes to us. See, God's promises are yes,
yeah,
waiting on our amen. So you've got the white stone. And so the white stone is, in other words, you have the ability always to know what God wants you to do in every situation of life.
Yeah.
Does God want me to take this job? Does God want me to fix this for dinner?
Yeah.
Oh, God's not it. Yes, he is. You realize that we're killing ourselves with what we're eating?
Oh, yeah.
That's how the enemy is destroying our health right now. They're messing with our food supply. And so you and I, we got to have God's blessing on what we eat,
yeah,
to stay above the curse. Amen? Okay. That didn't go over good. Okay. So you and I, we're in this place where we have this white stone. We have guidance. We have direction. But it means more than that. Thank God for the guidance and the direction, but the foundation of it is that you've got God's approval.
Yeah.
You ever heard the old term being blackballed? Okay, that's where this comes from, because if somebody voted against you, that's where they voted you out. Say I'm voted in. Come on, you're voted in by Jesus this morning.
Yeah.
If God be for us, nobody can be against you, amen? So you have the white stone. You have the assurance because you have believed in the mouth. No. Come on, your mouth or what? Come on. And then the mouth will start lining up. See, the devil, he wants to keep us talking and thinking out of what we've said in the past. You and I, we're not going by that. We're going by what's happening in our life right now. We are a disciple of Christ. And the Spirit of God is bringing new man, a new revelation of the white stone in our life, and it changes what comes out of our mouth. Amen? Okay, so he said, I'm going to give you this this progressive. Now, look, it keeps getting better and better. And in the stone, a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. So here's your date with destiny on Father's Day, on Daddy's Day 2024. You've got to realize as you're progressing in this discipleship, and you're making disciples, all of a sudden that you're seeing that you're an overcomer. You're eating that spiritual manna, that truth that is hidden that nobody else can receive. You see that you've got approval and you've got direction by the Holy Ghost. But all of a sudden that direction and the guidance of the Holy Ghost shows you your destiny.
Right.
You've got a new name. You got a name. Brother Corey mentioned it this morning. It was not by accident. Me and him had this conversation. Why did he say that? He said that by inspiration of the Spirit.
Right.
So you and I, we are supposed to be Christians in the earth, little Christ,
right,
little anointed beings of the living, mighty God. Amen. But God gives each one of you a name. And that name brings a revelation of your destiny. It brings a revelation of your part in the building of the church. See, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church in the gates of hell. Okay, but the church is built on the foundation of Jesus. 1 Peter 2:5. Say, I'm a lively stone. You're a stone in the foundation. And in that stone, that's that white stone, and in that stone has your name. Your new name that nobody else knows. So you can do what you can do in Jesus, and the world will say, how do they do that? How can they witness like that? How can they testify like that? How can they give like that? How can they work like that for the Lord? Because of that name. Everything that you do is because of God's put that name in you, in His approval, and His in His guidance. You don't have to be jealous or envious about anybody else. It doesn't matter about anybody else. What matters is what God has put in that stone about you. And when somebody tries to tell you that you can't do it, say, you take it up with my daddy. Take it up with him. Remember, they come to Jesus and they say, by what authority are you doing this? That's what you're doing. Doesn't matter if the world doesn't understand it. You just do what God told you to do. Amen? Okay, real quick. Can I have just a few minutes? Let's go to Genesis chapter 17. Let's look at this. Let's get this in our heart real quick. Genesis 17, about the power of a name. Now, God had made a promise way in Genesis 12 to Abram. But the promise was never going to come to pass until he revealed to Abram his new name, his destiny. Genesis 17:1. And when Abram was 90 years and nine. Come on now, think about it. He'd been 24 years. God had told him he's going to be a father of many nations. But here we are 24 years later. The Lord appeared unto Abram and he said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, be thou complete. Just take me at my word and believe me above all others. Look what he said. Verse 2. And I will make my covenant between me and thee. Remember, you done called on Jesus, so you've got a covenant. Remember, we read it? And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but thou shalt be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. So all of a sudden, see, Abram means elevated father. But all of a sudden, it took 24 years for Abram to get humble. Right. Let's get humble quicker. Amen? Because when we're humble, God said, when you humble yourself under me, my mighty hand, I will exalt you. So all of a sudden, he reveals his covenant. He reveals Abram, you have a destiny. It hadn't come to pass, but now it's coming to pass because I'm telling you what was written in the stone. Reach up and grab it now. Come on, put it in your heart. God's calling you to do some things, and your mind says no. Your body says how. But in your spirit, you know this is resonating with you. We won't turn there because. But Mark, make a note of Genesis 32 and look at where God took Jacob and he changed his name to what? Israel. He took him from somebody who was a supplanter, somebody who was a deceiver. He took and he brought him to the place of being the name of God's nation. Yeah. Israel. You know what Israel means? Ye will prevail. You gain the victory. Amen. We're spiritual Israel. We've been grafted in this morning. Okay. All right. In closing, John 1:42. John, maybe we can relate to this. Let me read 41 first, just for the thought. Andrew findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ." We found God's Savior who has the anointing to save, is what this says in the Greek. Verse 12, and he brought him to Jesus. Just think about this. Andrew brings Simon to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, and what this says, Jesus looked at him, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, he had discerning of spirits, and he looked inside of Simon, and he saw the white stone. He saw a new name written down in glory. He saw Daddy's destiny for Simon. See, we get saved, if we're not careful, we just live to be saved rather than living out our destiny. And Jesus beheld him and said, "Thou art," right now, this moment, the moment I speak it, when God says something, he means it.
Yeah.
We just have to take it and put it to practice in our life. "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah." Right now, you're the son of the anointed one, is what he says. And by that anointing, I'm going to do a work. He said, "But thou shalt be called Cephas," which by interpretation is called a stone. Peter, a piece of the rock. He just showed Peter his new white stone with his name in it. See, the only way, I spent so much of my life just wanting to be saved and just wanting to be Greg. And see, I was saved, but I was miserable. Hard to get along with. Never satisfied. Because why? Because I never could find the complete peace of God, because I wouldn't step into the peace of God. Stepping into the peace of God meant complete submission, and it meant partaking of that white stone and accepting that name to walk in my destiny.
Right.
Nobody else is kicking against the pricks this morning? Don't you think this is a miracle? Andrew brought his brother to Jesus. Jesus discerns and looks in his spirit and sees God's will and gives him a word that changes Peter's life. Now look at the rewards Andrew's going to get because of the rewards that Peter's going to get. You got to, by the Spirit, you got to reach out and you got to grab who you are. You got to grab that name. You can't go by your old name, your old way of thinking, your old way of understanding. You can't have any limitations of who you used to be, because you're not who you used to be. You are a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17, in Christ Jesus, created unto, Ephesians chapter 2, unto good works.
Right.
The Bible says you're God's workmanship. All right. Let me tell you about a young man. He gets saved. May sound very familiar. Young man, he gets saved, and he has the peace of God come into his life at that level of salvation. But all of a sudden, there starts getting a revelation in his life that God didn't call him just to be somebody to be saved, and he doesn't call anybody just to be saved. He calls all of us to be a part of his will, his work, his great wondrous plan. So this young man, he didn't understand all of this, and so he thought he had to do something. So he took out a piece of paper and he wrote down all these things that he would do. You know, I'll do this, Lord. I'll do that. I'll go here, I'll go there, I'll pick up this ministry. And he took it to church and he laid it on the altar. And he was expecting to find peace. Guess what he found? No peace. Because it was all what he was going to do. I'll do this, I'll do that. I don't know about you, but I can't do anything without Jesus. But see, it takes years to learn some things. So took that piece of paper back and thought, okay, maybe I don't have enough stuff on this piece of paper. I don't have enough. I need to do more things, or I need to not do more things. I don't know about you. I cannot in myself not do the things that my flesh wants to do. Paul said the things I want to do, Romans 7, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. Come on. So if Paul had trouble with that before Romans 8, before he understood the freedom of the Spirit, you and I, we're going to have trouble with that. But anyway, so all of a sudden, this young man, he went and he found somebody who had some wisdom in their life. And he said, this is what I'm doing, but I have no peace. And this man looked him in the eyes and he said, get you a new piece of paper. Write your name at the bottom. Lay it on the altar. And you'll have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Really? Are you sure? Oh, I'm sure. Took the blank piece of paper, wrote his name on it, put it on the altar. All of a sudden, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. See, it's not about what you and I can do, but it's about what God has called us to do in Him by His Word. He wants to supply you. He wants to give you and I the hidden manna. He wants to show us that we are overcomers. He wants to show you and I that we're already built into the church. We're not fighting to get into the church. We're in the church. You are the church. And you've got that name that God Himself has spoke over your life. See, every name in the Bible has an anointing with the name. And the anointing is what brings the fruition or the completion of the name. You're anointed by Jesus. So you can do what He called you to do. Amen. You can be all He called you to be. This morning, some of you just need to lay down some things. That's what Brother Corey was talking about, that you've been holding on to. Been holding Jesus with one hand and holding on to the other with the other hand. The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. Don't get mad at me, but I'm talking to myself too. We transgress when we don't give fully to the Lord. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for this wonderful group of people. I thank You that You would allow somebody like me to be a part of their lives and then be a part of mine and Donna's lives. I thank You, Lord, that You would allow us to grow up together, that You would work on us together by Your Spirit, bringing Jesus to our heart, soul, and life. I ask, Father, that every person here be just as encouraged as we were when we got into this Word. And let them see how much You love them. Let them see Your plan and destiny for their lives. Let every lie be revealed. Let every stronghold of the enemy that would try to hold and hinder and hurt, let it be changed by the hope, the Bible hope of Your Word this morning. We'll be quick to praise You for it. You are the God that is more than enough. Let us accept that and receive that in Jesus' mighty name. Would you come this morning and just give everything to Jesus?